Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Greetings, Koobalings, and welcome to the season premiere of the Nintendo Shack New Year, New Switch, episode 306. It all kind of rhymes, sort of, kind of. Hi, Donnie. Hi, Delvin. How are you?
Happy What's New up? Year. Shack. Shack's back.
Shack is back.
Get excited.
I'm still waking up for the morning and the new year, and so much has happened. I had a good Christmas. I had a good new year.
Yeah, I am.
It was so hard to go back to work the first couple days. Like, oh my gosh, it was so difficult. Oh, I had a good break though. It was a very good break. I hope everybody enjoyed the holiday episode that we do each and every year for PSVG.
If you didn't, oh well.
It was fun. I had a good time. It was very
tried.
Yeah, it was good. Delvin, how was your extended break from PSVG land?
It was great. It was great. You know, I had a good time. Beat Tears of the Kingdom.
Whoa! Oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk about it with you.
I did a lot of stuff, man. I did a lot of outside touch grass stuff. You know, I went. They had a special showing of, this is too old for both of you guys to know, the Last Dragon with Bruce Leroy, where the guy who played Bruce Leroy was there. So I went to a special showing of that. I went to see Dave Chappelle. I did a lot of junk. I went to this Christmas special that's like Cirque du Soleil or whatever it is. I did a lot of stuff just outside, just touching grass.
That's good. That's healthy. That's really awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. Definitely.
And you still managed to beat Tears of the Kingdom in that.
Yes. Fantastic game.
We're going to talk about it very soon.
Yeah, I'm down to talk about that. That was a fun experience. I loved it. I would never go back to it.
Wait, okay, hold on. Before we get to Donnie's Christmas, tell me about your fight with Ganondorf.
Talk Zelda.
It was great. I think I'm glad that I beat it when I did, and you guys told me about the whole how the battle works and Ganon's like all gloom and all this stuff. Because if I didn't know that, that battle would have been hard as hell. But I beat it on the first shot.
Nice.
Did your jaw not drop or your brain explode after like the first couple phases, and then like the thing happens and then you're doing the thing in the sky?
I thought that was pretty cool. I'm glad that was easier than the other battle. Like, that's what I'm more like, thank God I got to deal with this shit again.
It was very forgiving, but it was like more like cinematic cool. Like I cannot believe that I did not see that coming, like that he was going to do that.
It was pretty cool. After I beat the first phase, I'm like, okay, that was cool. It had to get easier then. Then the second phase, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
okay, what about when his health bar just kept going about. Up across like, the whole screen? Oh.
I'm like, come on, man, stop this. This is a little ridiculous. Like, please stop.
I thought that part was very funny.
It was. But after I beat that phase, I'm like, okay. Then we did the third part. I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. I like this. Had to figure it out. And I thought it was a really cool way to do that. And I loved the game. I thought it was fantastic. But I feel like that was a moment that I don't need to experience again.
That's kind of how I feel. No. I know exactly what you mean, because I feel that way about both Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. More so about Breath of the Wild, but like also a little bit for this one. I feel like all the older Zelda games, like I eventually want to go back and replay them. Maybe it's like a recency thing with these, but like I don't know that I'm going to feel that way about these.
Yeah, I feel like these two games, well, Tears of the Kingdom, I feel like this was just an experience, an amazing experience that I just kind of enjoyed and lived for the moment. I feel like if I go back and play it again, it probably would lessen the way I feel about it a little bit, because I know how everything works and things like that. It does make me want to play Breath of the Wild now. It makes me want to go try that one and see how much I enjoy that experience now, knowing
I can't really recommend that personally, but I'd be curious to see if you did enjoy it.
Yeah, but that's going to be like maybe around Switch 2 time, because there's too much stuff on my backlog to play to get to that one.
Yeah.
If Switch 2 allows me the opportunity to play an enhanced version of Breath of the Wild, I absolutely will.
I think it will. I'm just guessing. I'm hoping it will. But that seems like it only makes sense.
I don't foresee myself booting up Tears of the Kingdom again ever. Yeah.
You don't think Tears of the Kingdom is better than Breath of the Wild?
We've been over this. I don't.
Oh, my God.
We disagree. That's crazy. Wholeheartedly on this topic.
Wow.
I think if you were checking boxes and like measuring, obviously Tears of the Kingdom does a lot more, especially with like the building mechanic and all the things that it does. But like, do I want to replay that experience again? I don't. I don't want to like learn how to put hangers on rails and slide around and attach rockets to carts and stuff. Like, it's not, and I'm not saying that it's bad. It's just like, I think once you've done it, there's an element of like, I don't know, like tedium that I picture when I think of playing it again.
I 100% understand that, but I want to know why you don't feel that way about Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, like with Breath of the Wild, I think it's simpler, and I don't. For me, it was just, and I said this when I beat Tears of the Kingdom. I'm honestly not trying to throw stones at Tears of the Kingdom. I'm just trying to convey my opinion. I loved Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom's ending. I think this is my favorite ending in a Zelda game. But the experience, the whole thing, I don't know. It just doesn't, it didn't feel as, I don't know, special or memorable to me as the first one. And I think that part of it would go a long way for me going back to playing Breath of the Wild again. It's simpler, right? And I think a lot of people might say it's barren. And I can understand that. But I think that simplicity of like just having the shrines, you know, just having the town story quest and having it a bit more, you know, it's without all of those grindy systems on top of it, like without the depths and without the caves and all the extra things on top of it. If I was to replay something, if I was choosing to play something again, I would go for the simpler one, and probably the one that I mean, at this point, it's hard to say something that's like 8 years old nostalgic, but I may just have a bit more nostalgia for it. Breath of the Wild just feels a bit more seminal to me. It's a bit more special. Like for me, Breath of the Wild is up there with Wind Waker and Link to the Past and Ocarina and Tears of the Kingdom, which I love. Like I definitely really like the game. It's not like Skyward Sword. It's better than that. But it sits below those four or five. It's just below that. And I don't feel the need to revisit it.
I think I feel the exact same way as you, but like the opposite. Like obviously I love Breath of the Wild. It's a fantastic game, but like to me it's just like irrelevant. I think I've said this before, it's irrelevant compared to Tears of the Kingdom. Like I don't feel like I'd be getting anything more out of going back to that game than I would Tears of the Kingdom. But I still love it, don't get me wrong. I can
shout out to Jess for the Cadillac Love, which we launched January 1st. Yeah. You go catch on the YouTube channel.
It's great.
No, I'm happy that you finished.
Apparently gets my Rebecca with the good hair reference, but it's okay.
I've had several people. I've been throwing it up there. The yeah.
That's a Beyonce reference.
Yeah, of course. I did the box dye and made it a little bit more red because I did it at the salon and it was like $200 and it was already starting to fade and it wasn't really the color I wanted anyway. So now I'm experimenting with like $14 box dye because like I do not have the money to like keep experimenting with the salon.
It's expensive.
It's so expensive. Yeah, it is. Yeah, so it is. I'm just going to do the box dye and I'm so mad that I cut it this short. Next time I get the urge to cut my hair to my shoulders, tell me I'm a stupid idiot and don't do it. Because
that's what make her do it even more.
Every time I... Yeah. No, because every time I do it, like I get the urge and then I do it and I like it the first day and then I don't like it anymore. And like, look, then it like starts to flip up. Like, just let me keep it long. Like, seriously. And I don't know. Anyway, how was your Christmas, Donnie?
Good. Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed our breakaway from podcasting. And honestly all sense of the word. I saw family. We did Christmas. Victoria got sick again. That's three Christmases in a row that she's been sick.
That's called a holiday tradition.
We had my aunt and uncle scheduled to come to our house. They haven't come see me at my house in like 7 or 8 years. It's been a long time. And I was like painting and everything, like painting the trim and painting the walls and like cleaning the mop and the floors and cleaning the windowsills and everything, like preparing for to have guests. And after all that work, like 3 days, Victoria popped for the flu on Christmas Eve, and we had to cancel like all plans.
That's so awful.
We just had a very in-home. Yeah, the house was clean. We just had a very cozy, the four of us, Christmas. I didn't play very many games at all. I don't have a whole lot to report on that side. You know, the sad part of all the things that I have that can play video games, I played the Switch the least, and like by a large margin. I had a few times I tried to play something, and I would just like look through my game case and I would look through my library and just wasn't compelled to do anything. I played a little Mario Wonder again. I was just like, I just play some levels again. I did spend a night playing, the name just escaped me. The Mario soccer game, Strikers. I was gonna say Slammers. Yeah, Strikers. Having fun with it. Rebecca sent that one my way. I never played it. I skipped it on release. And it's pretty fun. I think the controls, how they have like the directional shooting with the goal, and it's wacky and chaotic and everything you expect from a Strikers game. I think it looks nice. Like the fields and the environments are real nice.
It does look
nice. Yeah, the character roster. I feel this way with almost all the Mario games. It's just like after having Smash and Kart and stuff, like just having the Mario Kingdom characters like feels a little lacking. It's like, can we spruce this up a bit?
That was a game that really needed additional DLC. And I know it had like a little tiny bit, but like it needed more updates, like of more characters and more fields and stuff like that. I it sounds like you're enjoying it more than I did. So I'm glad that it is in a better home.
You know, like you've got Exhibition, which is what me and like the kids played. And then like there is like the cup thing. So it's like Kart. You can like go do the cups, but there's not a whole lot more than that. And I'm not even exactly sure like what that would mean. Like, do we want a story mode from Strikers? I haven't played online because I never would play online. I'm sure my opinion is like more tame because I didn't pay $60 for this game and I didn't buy it on launch. And, you know, like I got this game on the cheap. And we've talked about this, you know, the Switch sports games have been games that like you want to get on the cheap. Like not a lot of them have been very rewarding or filled or live up to the standard that other franchises are putting out. So like, I feel like for me, it's like a casual affair. I paid a casual price. So
I think
a whole lot of bad things to say.
I think if they sold those games for $40 instead of $60, we wouldn't be so critical.
Yeah,
they feel budgety.
They feel like $40 games,
or like selects. Like what if they were $29.99? They'd be like instant recommends. Yeah, just put like the little selects tag on it, and then you would forgive the misgivings and the luster and the light modes and all that. They'd be fine. Yeah.
But you know, all of them have that.
Like even Switch Sports, I feel the same. Like Switch Sports is all right, but it's not. Yeah, it's just not. It's not very good.
And it doesn't feel like it has the value of most of their $60 games.
Yeah. Feels like they gave all the value to Mario Kart and said, "Oh, the rest of these, we don't care."
Also, I know, you know how every single time that there's like sales data and we're like, who is still buying Mario Kart 8 in the year of 2023? I know now who is buying it. I was talking to some of my students about like what they got for Christmas, and one of my second graders said he got Mario Kart for his Switch. And I'm like, did you not already have Mario Kart? And he was like, well, I did, but you know, my dog ate it, so I got a new one for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can extrapolate. One out of every third Switch owner is buying Mario Kart. Like that's basically how that breaks down. We've sold 140 million Switches. There's like 60 million of those have bought Mario Kart.
It's Luke.
One out of every two and a half.
Buying it. I'm calling out Luke.
Every day another Mario Kart owner is born. So there you go.
That's it. Yeah, there's a whole group of people that didn't even have games when we played Mario Kart the first time.
True.
Millions of them. Mm-hmm.
I have a lot to talk about before we get into the news. So like once you get bored of what I'm talking about, tell me and then I'll move on to the next thing. I'll try to keep it short. I went to Zelda-thon.
Oh, that's enough.
Oh, tell me.
We can wrap it up.
No, that's fair. I asked for that. Have you guys heard of Zeldathon?
I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah.
It's like the biggest Zelda charity. They do a marathon twice a year. And I was invited to their winter marathon. And so me and Josh went, and because I was invited to play the Minish Cap as a guest with them. And so I went, we went in person, and it was like this really fancy event at like a hotel, and they had like all this stuff set up. And I played Minish Cap, and I did some glitches, and I ended up hard locking myself and had to go back and redo two dungeons. It was a really fun time. And then we were also asked to be part of a murder mystery improv thing that they were doing. It was all for charity. Oh, it was really fun.
That sounds fun.
So I got to play a Rito character, and turns out we all murdered Tingle. It was like a Tingle murder mystery.
Damn, y'all did my man like that.
It was like you had to like record stuff, and like people had to decide like who is the one who murdered Tingle, and like it was really fun. It's like recorded on a VOD, like on the Zeldathon Twitch channel, if anyone wants to go back and watch it. But it was a really good time, and they ended up raising a lot of money for charity. I forget what the final total was, but it was like in the tens of thousands. It was like, I think like 40 or 50,000 or something like that in the end. It was real, like we ended up making the money for Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's dope.
It was really fun. Yeah, so if you haven't heard of that charity marathon, I would definitely recommend tuning in when they do it in the spring. I can't remember if I started talking about this game last Shaq episode. I don't remember if I was into it at that point, but Pokemon Infinite Fusion. Has anyone heard of this game?
I don't know what that is.
Oh my God. So it's like it's kind of like a ROM hack, but like it's its own downloadable thing. It's like a fan game. It's, you don't need a ROM to play. You can just go onto the Pokemon Infinite Fusion website and download it. Donnie, let me tell you, you need to pay attention to this, because this is what I wish Pokemon was. Like, seriously, like it is so much labor of love. It's been around since 2015, and they are still updating it frequently to this day. It takes place in Kanto, and you can also go to Johto. There are like tons of side quests. It's like taking place 3 years before Kanto. I hooked Garrett on playing it. He's like now into it. It takes place 3 years before like the OG games. So like the towns look a little bit different. There's like some extra areas to explore. Like there's like an underground sewer. There's like a swamp area, but like the gimmick for this game is that there are DNA splicers, and you can fuse two Pokemon together. And so there's like 200,000 possible combinations, and like you would think like most of them won't look good, but there are over 100,000 custom sprites that artists in the community have made. So most of them look really cool. So like you can take like a Pikachu and like a Snorlax and fuse them together, and you get like Pikalax, and it's like a electric normal type, and it looks really cool. And so like there's a built-in randomizer, so like you can encounter all of these insane fusion Pokemon, and like the dialogue is really like you know uniquely written. Like it's not just like a copy paste of like Red and Blue. Like it's its own game, and it is loosely based off of like Kanto. Like you go and do like the gyms, like it's the same gym leaders and stuff, but like there's so much depth in it. Like I think I've spent like 60 hours so far, and like I'm still in the first part of the game. And like if you do not like the direction that Pokemon has been going in, try this game. It is so good. I'm getting everybody to play it.
And
they're still updating it. They're still updating it. So like there's still stuff that can come out for. I'm hoping that they add online multiplayer. Because, like, I really want to battle. Like, Josh is playing it. Like, I want to battle his Pokemon.
Rebecca,
it's so much fun.
Can I play this on a Steam Deck or an Ally?
I'm playing it on my Steam Deck. It is, like, seriously the best thing ever. I'm playing it on this.
Yeah. I might be all in on this. This looks cool.
You should try. You would honestly really like it. Tell me if you do it, and I'll tell you what settings to set it up with for, like, an optimal experience.
Okay. I will tell the boy.
And there's difficulty settings, and it's like kind of hard. Like I'm playing on normal mode, and like I got to a boss, not a gym leader, a boss, and I got wiped out completely. Like this one Pokemon took out like six of my Pokemon, and I thought I was like appropriate leveled.
This looks cool.
It's really good. Really good.
It looks like a legit Pokemon game that's like like supposed to be put out. Like how has this been going so long and like You stay quiet. I don't want to jinx it.
I don't know. I think maybe because it's not a ROM hack. Like, I mean, it's obviously using like intellectual property of Game Freak, but like, I don't know. I don't know. Apparently, this isn't like its peak popularity though. Like, apparently, it's been a thing. But me and a bunch of other people are just getting into it now because like, they recently updated it where the fusions can evolve independently. So like if, you know, your one Pokemon in the fusion is ready to evolve, that part will evolve. And like, so your Pokemon can evolve like 6 times, theoretically. Jeez. Like, it's so good. Oh my gosh. My starter was Solopoke. It was like a mix between Solosis and Slowpoke. And now it's like all the way evolved, and it's so cool. I have a Luxray that is fused with a Talonflame, and so it's like this giant, like griffin electric bird. It's so cool. Sounds Donnie, awesome. You're very quiet.
I'm sorry. I had some work stuff come in on my cell phone, so
no.
I was listening. I even pulled it up. It's like, do you just run an emulator?
No, you don't even need an emulator. It's its own thing. Yeah.
Okay. No, yeah, you can play it
on your Ally. You can play it on your Steam Deck for sure. Yeah. So I highly recommend that to those who have been disappointed with the recent Pokemon experiences. And like, it feels like a reimagining of Fire Red and Leaf Green, I guess. You know, and they have like quality of life things where like, you know, you don't need to keep a Pokemon with Cut on your team because like you can end up later finding an item called Shears, which like you can like cut the grass yourself so that like you don't need a Pokemon that knows Cut. You can get a surfboard so that you don't need a Pokemon that has Surf on your team when you want to travel in the water.
Swag Surf. I get it.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like nice. Mini games. Like I had to do a surfing mini game to get the surfboard. Where I had to race somebody to get the surfboard. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's a whole plot with Team Rocket where like, it's like not from the original game. Like it has to do with like the fusion Pokemon. It's so cool. It's so cool. So yeah. Highly recommend if you listeners like have questions about it or start playing it and like want to know stuff, let me know. Cause I'm like, literally, this is my obsession right now.
This sounds like a game I would pay for.
Yeah. It's free. Like,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's yeah, really yeah, dope. Yeah.
Try it, Delvin. I can't wait to talk to you about it if you do.
I definitely am.
Speaking of Pokemon real quick, I don't know if you guys have watched on Netflix the new Pokemon Concierge. It's 4 episodes. They're like 20 minutes long each. This was like something that was in like one of the Pokemon Directs like forever ago, and now it's finally out on Netflix. Yeah. I like went in with like no expectations. I was watching it because Josh wanted to watch it. It's so good. It's stop motion. It's like has like a really powerful message in it. Like it's so cute. It's very low commitment because it's only 4 episodes. The whole thing takes like a little over an hour to watch. Go watch it. Go watch one episode. It's so cute.
I was going to watch it. I saw it, but I saw like the screen still of it. Like that looks terrible.
No, it does. Like I said, I went into it with no expectations. The screenshot may look stupid, but like the stop motion, it's done so well. The animation is really well made.
I'll check it out then. I'll definitely check it out.
It's a very cool Pokemon world. Go watch one episode. Highly recommend. I've been very into indie games. This is going to be my year of the indie games, like even more so than last year. I started the other day the game Hello Good Boy. I'm almost at the end. I wanted to finish it before this podcast, but it's this little indie game you can play on the Switch. You play as this little boy and he has like, I think it takes place in the afterlife. It's very vague, but I think he's being connected with his dog, like after he died, maybe his dog died. And you're like kind of going through the afterlife. You can choose like certain doors to go through and like help people who I think are in the afterlife. And you have to like make decisions. Like at first, like you can't help this little porcupine because you don't have like the right thing to help him. And you go along and like now maybe you can help him, but you can either choose to help him or this little girl who can't find her parents. And it's like just so wholesome.
Like a children's book.
It looks, yes, it does look like it's kind of like storybook illustrated. And, you know, it's like there's not like a lot of gameplay. It's just kind of like walk around and click things and interact with things and like experience the story. But you do make some choices and it's just so wholesome. Like I cannot get over the wholesomeness of this. Like I feel like I'm going to cry at the end. The dog is like so, it's like just so uplifting with positivity. So I'm really enjoying this one. Like, I feel like I'm getting more enjoyment out of playing like little indie projects like this than like most AAA games. Like, it's insane. But I'm going to be playing more indies. I have a whole list of backlog games, like a lot of stuff that like I bought recently. So expect more indie talk from me lately, like in the next couple weeks.
Nice.
And then finally, the last thing that I would like to say that I did over my break was I played through the entirety of Triforce Heroes with two of my friends. Because, yeah, none of us had ever beaten it before because, like, you know, back in the day, you just play like random levels and, you know, it's very hard to beat that game with just random strangers. And now if you try to like go online and find random strangers, like you can't find anybody at all. Nobody's playing this game. So we made it a point, you know, to go through and play each level in order together. And I'm not going to lie, it was really fun. I had such a good time. Like, this game is just such a different experience playing it with friends than with strangers online. People who are actually competent, who know what they're doing. We were playing on voice chat. We were laughing so hard. We initially had problems connecting, and we weren't really sure why. Because, like, we were able to connect, and then, like, we weren't able to connect. And, like, everybody's internet was fine. And we, like, narrowed it down to, like, wondering if it was because two of us were playing on hacked 3DSs and one of us wasn't. And we convinced the other guy to hack his 3DS, and we had no problems after that. It was totally fine after that.
Two crimes! Love it.
So,
the first Zelda game, really game fun. My kids ever played really on their own because we played it together. Like when it came
it's
out,
it's kind of hard. Yeah,
we had family play. It was me, myself. I mean, it was myself, Victoria, and Jack. And Jack was very young at the time, and we just kind of like basically carried him along. Like, so yeah. I remember Victoria just yelling at him. Like, we would just give Jack like the simplest things while she and I tried to take everything out. And yeah,
that always, was, yeah, we were doing
always
that too.
I kind of liked it. Yeah.
The final boss was hard. It took us like two tries to actually beat it. Yeah, there was lots of like good humored yelling at each other. Like, you know, if somebody did something stupid, we would pick them up and throw them off the edge kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
It was a fun game. But
we wanted to do it before the servers closed because they're closing in March.
Speaking of the servers closed, we did run a Mario Golf tournament through Christmas. We only had four people play.
I forgot.
So I'll run one more. But if we only have four people playing the first next one, that'll be it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I was away, so I forgot. No, I like it. I like taking advantage of this before it closes because this is the only chance we got.
I've noticed the connections are taking a lot longer than they used to. I'm not sure if they're like running like some sort of queuing or if they have a load balancer or they're slowly like trimming things down behind the scenes. But like checking the golf scores, we're taking like full blown minutes at a time, and they did not used to take that long. You know, like at most they would take like, I don't know, like 15 seconds, maybe 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Now they're like, I set the 3DS down. I was like, I'll just wait for this to catch up, and then like went and used the bathroom and came back to check the scores.
They're probably starting to close down some servers. And so like, it might be taking longer to get to.
I can tell
that works.
Yeah. I can notably tell that it was different in January than it was in, or it was different in December than it was in November and October for sure.
Yeah. Anyone else need to say anything before we get into this week's news?
No, I'm good. I mean, I'm.
What's so funny, Delvin?
I'll tell Donnie offline.
Uh-oh.
Donnie.
Yes.
I'll just say this. What I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Said yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tell them. I mean, we're recruiting people anyway. I will just speak on that. It was a big thing we talked about months ago. We didn't forget about it. It's still happening. We are going to start recruiting people. I've already reached out to have our first guest like join PSVG in a couple weeks. And I mean, I'm not going to like try to get them all in a week. Like it'll take some time, you know, like we're not in a hurry, but you will start to hear some guests come in through PSVG and Shaq and XP as we look to at least add a couple people to the team, to the podcast shows this year. So we can have, you know, a little bit more voices and more room, you know, to skip a show or take a show off or anything like that if you need to. So we're trying to fill the bench a little bit.
Well, I might as well say it now. We're recording XP tonight at 8, and it will be live. So if people want to come back around 8 o'clock, y'all can check out XP.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Looking forward to all these shows. It made me very happy to see Cadillac go and then PSXP go. And like for like 2 years, it was just PSVG Shaq, PSVG Shaq, PSVG Shaq. Yep. And it's just nice to see the other shows start to mix up on the YouTube channel. It makes me happy to see.
Yeah.
You know, variety is the spice of life.
It is. It is. It is. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm Rebecca, I took you got this started. I'll blame you. You know, you were talking about hunting for a new PC, and not that I was hunting for a new PC. I liked my PC, but I was just like, man, I want a new PC. Like, she's getting a new PC. Why can't I get one?
I did.
And I found that, like, so I did not know this, but apparently Dell has a trade-in program like GameStop where you can just send them your PC and they'll give you money for it. You can just buy another one.
Does and it have to be a Dell PC, or can you send them any PC?
I think so, because like it looked it up via my service tag. So I had an Alienware, I had a Dell, and I sent it to them, and they were like, we'll give you all this money for it. And it's not a little bit, like it's a lot. So I pulled the trigger, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I'm trading up for a new PC. That's why my webcam looks the way that it is. And if we have technical difficulties on the show for the next week or two, that's why. It's because I'm running this off of like a little laptop. So I've got like a little laptop and a portable
screen.
For once,
it's not me.
And until my new PC comes in, I'm waiting for them to give me the final valuation, and then I'll buy the new one, and I got to have it shipped to me and set it all back up. But I'm excited.
Nice. I just bought my new one because my USB ports are failing, and there is nothing I could do to fix it. It's a motherboard issue. And I haven't set it up yet, but I will. And I'm like dreading it, but it'll be for the best.
Good.
Yeah, it was like an expensive. Yeah,
I'm way more excited that. About like, mine than you sound about yours. Like I can't.
Well, it was like because it all like just kind of happened because like I knew that I was gonna need one, and then like it got worse like faster than I expected, and just don't like spending a lot of money like right after Christmas after I spent a lot of money. But whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall.
Go ahead.
Yep, I was going to ask, shall we get into the news? But
yeah, let's do it. No, let's do it.
I was very disappointed because a game that I was looking forward to playing this week got delayed. Remember, we were talking about the Top Racer collection?
Yes.
Yep.
How it's like the collection of what was called Top Gear, but apparently now Top Gear is licensed and they can't use that anymore. It was supposed to come out January 11th, and now it's delayed until March. March! That's 2 months away!
That is a while away.
Happy birthday to me.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
But there is going to be a Steam demo, so maybe I will play the demo on Steam. I want to buy it on the Switch, but I'll play the demo on Steam just to hold me over.
Yeah, I was reserving some money to buy that one. And it was the only kind of kickoff. You know, I'm going to do Top Racer and Persia, hopefully on Switch. I'll probably do Persia on the Ally, actually.
I don't know how much it's going to cost, the Top Racer collection. You know how much?
I don't think I ever saw a price on it either. Yeah, XBS, it is the Top Gear show. I was going to mention that. I really like Top Gear, at least the old ones. So, yeah, Top Gear is a very popular show for like
very popular show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 20.
Oh, that's a deal. Nice.
Even better.
Yeah, that's like the perfect price.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they have like Horizon Chase Turbo like content just too.
Polishing it, yeah.
Can you pre-order it now then?
I don't see a pre-order on the Switch.
Yeah.
New and exclusive content, filters for a nostalgic experience, online mode for multiplayer races. But I did read that it will not have cross-play. Like you can only play other people on the Switch or you know on Steam or whatever. Challenges with friends and opponents from around the world in ranking mode, time attack mode, campaign mode, and custom cup mode. cool. I'm excited. I'm probably only going to play the first game, but I will try the other ones. Just because that's the one that I have nostalgia for. But I never got to play the other games, so I will try them.
I'm going to try.
I'll try them all, but I want to see this Horizon Chase Turbo crossover content stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, cool.
I'm going to try it. Sounds like something I like. Used to love those old Outrun games, so yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. The Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown is coming out on the 18th. That'll probably be the first like new game that I buy this year.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I heard that it has a really cool feature that I'm surprised other Metroidvanias have not done. Did you hear about this too, Donnie? I see you nodding your head.
Yeah.
Where you can take like an in-game screenshot and place it on the map where you are so that later in the game when you're someplace else and you open up your map and you go like you like move your cursor to that area on the map, you can see the screenshot and like kind of remember, oh yeah, like that's what that area looks like. What a great feature.
It's like a bookmark.
Yeah, but like a visual bookmark. Like you can remember, like, because how many times have I played Metroidvanias and like I have no idea like what this area is on the map. Like I was there, but I don't remember what it looks like. You know, and I'm, you know, a very visual person and kind of need that. So I will absolutely be using that feature.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of folks are playing it. It seems like reviews for that came out like several folks were playing it like a week ago or whatnot. So the reviews for it should be complete. You know, it doesn't seem like they're rushing these reviews. So people have had the game for a bit and I'm very much looking forward to it. Probably going to play that one on, I have the Ubisoft Plus because I got it for Mirage and Avatar. So I'll probably just keep it and just keep playing it that way. I'm sure I'll pick it up one day. Like, you know, when it goes on sale, I'll probably pick up the Switch copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to play it on Switch or Steam Deck. Now I have like to make those decisions. That's so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do you decide?
Well, for me, I decide on based on the wallet, right? So I'm subscribed to Ubisoft Plus for $15.99. So it's like, do I continue subscribing for Ubisoft Plus for $15.99 or do I spend $60? So I'm probably going to just subscribe for another month and give it a try.
Yeah.
And then I'll wait. Okay. I'll wait for a sale. Then I do the exact same thing with games that like hit Game Pass. Like I've bought so many games on Switch that are on Game Pass, but I just catch them, you know, when they hit a decent discount.
Oh, XBS says that they confirm that Prince of Persia is 1080p, 60 frames on Switch.
Docked. Yeah. Docked. And then 720p, 60 handheld.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. And then the day after that, on the 19th, another code recollection.
Yeah, is it recollection or recollection?
Recollection. I know. That's weird. Recollection, recollection.
No. There's a demo for that game. I was surfing the eShop trying to find something to play, like trying to find something like I wanted to buy. And I saw the demo for that one and I was like, do I want to play it? And I scrolled through some screenshots and I was like, no, not really. Guys, the eShop is terrible. I know it goes without saying, but like I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm gonna say it yet again. I went to like the coming soon page and I was like, what's coming out soon? Because like, okay, Top Racer got delayed, so like what's coming out, what can I get? And I did find something, but like in that something was surrounded by like 100 like alligator golf and there's like 18 mini golf games and
yep,
and like, you know, threes and match and crossword puzzle and pixel coloring book and I'm like, what the fuck is
happening? I don't even open it anymore.
Like I get that those games exist, but like, can we at least get like a featured tag? Can we get like a featured coming soon versus everything that has a date for the next 30 days or something? Like, can we get a little curation?
Yeah, just that's why I only go on the website. I go on the website version of the eShop because that actually is more curated. I don't see junk as nearly as often on that.
Yeah, and that's what I've always done too, but I was just playing Mario Strikers and was like, let's look for something. And yeah, I learned my lesson again. I learned why I always use the website.
The Switch eShop is wild. It is the wild west of video game shops. It's like, hey, here's this Bucks and Babes girls puzzle shooter.
Hentai volleyball. Yeah, like it's just stuff.
Next to Mario, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just right there. Like, they don't even try to hide it or nothing. Like, this is...
There's so many like rip-off racing games. Drift yes. Racer, Midnight Drifter, Turbo NOS Racing Sim. Like there's a thousand, like they're everywhere. It's like every fourth game. You know, it's just like, man.
It reminds me of the Apple App Store.
Yeah.
The Apple App Store is kind of the same way.
I mean, you may be right, but I've been using my Backbone like a lot this month, and at least through Apple Arcade, I don't see any of that, right? I hit the arcade button. There's a bunch of games. They all seem to be like somewhat relevant, you know? So on the arcade side of it, I think it solves a lot of that problem.
Yeah. God damn it, Garrett Bland.
I was just laughing at that comment. Oh boy.
So
cool. Yeah, so some good January games coming out. If you're excited for those. Otherwise, looking ahead to 2024. Let's talk about what we're excited for and hoping to see. Donnie, tell us about the games you're looking forward to this
year. Yeah, I wrote mine down so I wouldn't forget them because I transfer computers. I had a list. But yeah, like let's do 2024. Look ahead. We know we're gonna talk about hardware. And the plans, and I'm sure a lot of Nintendo podcasts are doing that as well. But before we even get into that, I want to talk to you guys about the games that you're excited about. The first party ones, I'll just read off quickly because I think they're probably on everybody's list. Mario vs. Donkey Kong, right? Thousand Year Door, you know, Princess Peach, Luigi's Mansion. Like, we've got a nice little list of first party games already, and I'm sure that they'll announce a lot more. But, you know, like, we did our 2024 look ahead on PSVG this past week.
And it was utterly disappointing.
Yeah, Dev is just careless. Like... Delvin was just slightly better than that. And like, even on Switch, I've got like 15 games that like I really want to play. So like, I thought it was good to shout them out. So obviously, Persia is up first. Like, I can't wait to play Prince of Persia. The Plucky Squire, which we've seen, the Devolver Joint.
I can't wait for that game. Is that definitely coming out this year?
I think so. Like, it's got to be, right? Like, it's got to be coming out this year. Unless it's going to, like, you know, devolve into Silk Song territory, it's got to release.
At least they're vocal about it. Like, they're still posting about it. You know, yeah, it hasn't kind of gone away.
I think that's going to make it. That has been just the concept of what they're trying to do. Has been something that like I've been asking for on Shrek for some time. And instead of us, you know, hopping between the 2D Sonic and the 3D Sonic and the 2D Sonic, like, why can't we have the 2D 3D Sonic? Or, I mean, not Sonic, Mario. Like, why can't we have the 2D 3D Mario game? Like, let's just do all of it. I love that in Odyssey, we had like those little levels where you're running around as Mario and then you could hop onto the wall and you were playing like a 2D platformer, you know, like even on a spheres, whatever. I thought that was awesome. And that's kind of like what the Plucky Squire is doing.
Sounds
dope. It's the 2D, 3D platforming game. And I'm here for it. In February, the Tomb Raider collection's coming out. And I think I'm going to get that one on Switch. They've been showing a lot more. They've been showing a lot more presentation of that. And you're going to have like the graphics option, like Halo, where you're going to be able to hop between like the old look and the new look. And it's just a nice little collection. Those are like, you know, traditional Tomb Raider games, not like the top-down ones or the things that we've got in the past, like on Switch, like the Temple of Osiris and stuff. These are like the OGs. Rift of the Necrodancer, the rhythm game that reminded me so much of Rhythm Heaven, we saw in a Direct like a year ago. It's supposed to come out this year. I really want to get that one. Do you guys remember the game Penny's Big Breakaway?
I do not.
No.
Let me look this up.
It's from the developers that worked on Sonic Mania. It's this big 3D platforming game, and it looks really nice. And I think it's coming out soon. I think it's like first half 2024.
Oh, I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, so that one's another one. And I think that one's going to be a little expensive. I don't know if I'm going to be that one on day one because, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what happens when it releases. But it's always been in the back of my mind.
What a bright, colorful game.
That one might be like a full price release.
I like the character design. She looks cool.
She does.
Yeah, and kind of, I'm hoping it's like better than A Hat in Time. Like, I liked A Hat in Time and got early on, and I remember when it got crowdfunded and everything, and it came out, and I liked it, but it didn't quite hit the highs that I was hoping it was. So I'm kind of like slightly skeptical. You know, like, I'm hoping though, like they did Sonic Mania, I'm hoping that they've got the chops to pull it off.
Sonic Mania is a great game too, so.
She kind of looks like a Victini. Do you know the Pokemon Victini?
I do, but like right off the top of my head, I don't. but no, I know the
look
name.
Look it up. It's like a Gen 5 legendary Victini. Hmm. She looks like him.
Blade Chimera. We saw that in the Nintendo Direct recently. That was like in the recent one. That's like the sci-fi Metroid, I guess, action platformer that we saw. That one looked really cool. Metal Slug Tactics, tactical RPG. My man Garrett's in the chat. Hopefully Metal Slug Tactics comes out this year. And then the last one that's on my list is Clock Tower. Clock Tower Rewind from Limited Run Games, the Super Nintendo game. I'll definitely be getting that one.
Yeah,
I'll get that one. I'm looking forward to a lot of games on Switch this year, and that's not even talking about like what's unannounced and what could be to come. So
for me, Plucky Squire, if it comes out, Prince of Persia, Top Gear, The Thousand Year Door. If Mina the Hollower comes out this year, I'm really looking forward to that one. If Haunted Chocolatier comes out this year, I don't think it will, but if it does, that one. Still waiting on Deltarune. I feel like all John the games 32? That I care about are indies.
John 32, did I miss it? I don't think so. It was definitely intense.
It has to come out this year. It has to come out.
I think Silksong comes out this year. I'm just not.
Yeah,
just
not you're not interested in that.
Yeah, yeah. Some love for Mina the Hollower out there. All right, Delvin, tell us why 2024 sucks before you've even bought a game.
I don't think it sucks. I just feel more like 2023 was so great. I'm like still in the 2023 mindset. I like so much stuff I didn't play in 2023 that I want to get to before I even think about 2024. And I'm quite sure there's going to be plenty of games I'm going to look at like, oh, I need to get back to that. But 2023 was just an amazing year. And frankly speaking, the most exciting thing, most thing I'm excited about for 2024 is the Switch 2. That one, like it. Yeah. Yeah. That is the one I'm like, okay, I can't wait for this.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it because we do have some news-ish kind of. It's not like a leak. It's not. Yeah, I mean, just remember that this is an analyst who is making a prediction. Okay, it's
and he's
not
often
like
wrong.
Any insider information.
Like he's often wrong.
Who is this guy? Dr. Serkan Toto?
Yeah, he's an analyst from Japanese
GamesIndustry.biz
consultant. Yeah, and they do this. This is an annual thing. They've done it for years. I think he's predicted this multiple times already in different forms. So he's already been wrong on it. But this prediction came out and then people ran with it like it was a report. It's not a report. It is just a prediction. And it's fun to talk about. But let's just be clear that it's just a prediction.
He has predicted a $400 Switch from Nintendo that will be more of an interaction.
An iteration
than a revolution to the Switch concept, which I think is what kind of people really want, really. What do we think about 2024 and Nintendo's hardware plans? Is this finally the year?
I think so. It's got to be.
It's got to be.
It's got to be. As much as I would love to sit here and say, like, Nintendo can always, like, make it Q1 2025 and all, like, I kind of don't. No, I don't. I mean, they can. Can it happen? Yes, but I don't think so. I think it's got to come out this year. This is it. The Switch is really starting to decline. We're starting to see it in year over year in comparison to the other consoles and stuff. The sales are starting to temper. And we are seeing like the Switch is getting hacked. That was like something that came out over the break. We're getting like ROM carts and stuff. Like it's time to move on. Nintendo needs to get something out there. It needs to happen.
I do agree, but also like think about the fact that we know of several first party games that are coming out this year for the Switch. Like they have already previously announced like Princess Peach and like Mario Donkey Kong and Thousand Year Door and Luigi's Mansion, and like a lot of them are remakes, but like it seems like they have a preliminary roadmap for the Switch for 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, it would not be surprising to me if we had a direct in February where they're like, and here are the other first-party games that are coming out in 2024. You know, here's what the summer game is. And then stay tuned for later in the year when we have this game. And it's like,
I expect that. I also expect that all of those will be cross-gen. And I think when they make the Switch 2 announcement, I think that's what because I think it's going to be backwards compatible. So I think they're going to kind of blend into that like the other consoles did. And that's how they're going to like justify that. They're not going to like cut it off like in the past. So like with 3DS, you had like the 3DS lineup and then like that was it. Once it was over, that was it. Those games are done. You had to buy a new system. With the next Switch system, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it is going to be backwards compatible. So I think they're going to keep, I think they're going to keep releasing Switch games. Like I think moving forward into 2025, they'll keep releasing Switch games or games that can be played on Switch, that are compatible to be played on Switch.
Yeah, I think that does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into these bullet points? Cost, design, wants, hates, excited fours?
Yeah, I want to talk about it.
Talk about it.
Dr. Sirkan Toto gave us like at least something to jump off at. So what do you guys think about price? $400. There's been a lot said. There's been said of, we've had a lot of things. People talk about an OLED model versus a no OLED model, two SKUs. We've heard one talk about a digital only versus one that accepts physical slots. How do you guys think that? Do you think we'll get the one SKU? Do you think we'll get two? Do you think we'll, what are you envisioning?
The OLED's $350 right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
$400 seems a little high for an iteration, in my opinion. But it depends on what that iteration is, obviously.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you think it's an OLED? Do you think there's an OLED option at launch?
It better be. If it's not, that feels like a downgrade to me.
Especially at a higher price. Like if they're going to exist in the market at the same time, that's a hard sell.
Absolutely. And everything has an OLED now.
Yeah. So I also think that they'll probably have an OLED, at least an option. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a standard option, an OLED option.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I believe that more than the digital option. I mean, I guess I kind of get the digital option, but like, I think a digital only option would come later. Like when they really like, I would think of a digital only option as like a Switch Lite option, not like a, you know, a launch option.
I'm trying to think. I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to say there's only one queue and it's not OLED yet. Cause I feel like they can always go down the line. Like here's the OLED now. $400. Yeah. It has Pikachu on it. Yeah. I think they could do that.
I hate that you're right.
Yeah, I feel like they could just give us a better Switch, and I think $400 is kind of just, that's kind of right. When you consider what the other consoles cost right now, $400 seems like a likely thing. It seems like a fair price
for a Switch. I'm wondering, because I've been thinking about how do they raise the price, because I think they, if the new Switch is capable as we think it is, I think they probably want to try to sell it for more than $400 given the market. I'm wondering how do they raise the price? And the one thing that I came up with is, and I think, I don't know how you guys react to it. I don't want to predict how you're going to react to it. What if they sell the dock as an accessory? What if you just get the Switch in the box? And if you want the dock, it's an add-on.
Oh, would it be compatible with our old dock?
No.
That's a bold move.
Yeah, this is a Switch 2, and like, so I'm thinking like you get a standard option for like say $300 or $350. You get the Switch OLED for like $400 or $450, but in both cases the dock is extra, and let's say it's like $80.
That would be rude.
That's like it's like Steam Deck.
So it's like they can kind of have their cake and eat it too out of the gate.
That would be bad for me and everybody.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I think we'd all buy one. I mean, I'm going to buy it.
We would.
Obviously, they would, but I feel like that's very anti-consumer.
Is it? Yeah. Why is that anti-consumer?
Yeah, of course it's anti-consumer.
They're just selling products. There's nothing anti-consumer about selling products.
No, it's anti-consumer.
Anti-consumer means. Like, yes, not wanting to pay more doesn't equal anti-consumer.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Then what does anti-consumer mean? Then what does that mean to you?
Anti-consumer would be doing something that's like predatory. That's not predatory. Like them pulling the dock out of the SKU. You know, like you could look at it the opposite. So the way you're looking at it, valid, but let me spin it. Let me just give you the opposite side of it. You can look the opposite way as they're making it cheaper for people that don't want the dock. You could look at it as pro-consumer. Let's say you're a person that only plays handheld. You'd be like, I don't want the dock, so I'll just get the cheaper version without the dock.
That's what the Switch Lite is for.
But again, this is a new console. It's a new generation. There is no Switch Lite. This is Switch, Wii U, whatever. The new Nintendo Super Switch.
Like, but you're not. I just wouldn't like it.
I know.
Nintendo, look here. Listen to me.
I think, no. Look, hang on. Listen to me, Nintendo. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Rebecca, I love, yes, I don't like it. Say that. Don't say it's anti-consumer.
It's anti-Rebecca.
Look, there we go.
And I'm a consumer, so therefore it's anti-consumer.
I'm going to say this. Nintendo, whatever Donnie just said, don't do that shit.
Don't listen to him.
Don't listen to him at all. I don't like that even a little bit. Give me my goddamn dock. Even if I don't want it, I want to be there.
Wait, what Yarden just said literally has crossed my mind. If they made two SKUs and one of them is backwards compatible and the other one isn't.
I could see it. That's what PlayStation did.
I don't think they wouldn't do
two SKUs out of the gate. What they would do is they would do the one SKU is backwards compatible and then phase that out down the line.
Yes, they would do that. That would happen.
Isn't that what they did with the Wii?
Yes.
The Wii was backwards compatible with the GameCube, and then they're like, psh, if you didn't get on it early, too bad. We don't have a GameCube anymore.
PlayStation did the same thing with the PlayStation 3.
And I hated it when they did it then too.
I could totally see that. That I could see for sure. Yeah. I expect whether they separate things or not, I expect this system to cost more than $400. I'm thinking $450.
Oh,
that's insane.
Let's say this. Let's say there's not two SKUs. Let's say there's Switch 2 at I don't know, $379.99, or a Switch 2 with a dock at $450. Something like that.
Ooh. Wait, can you say that again? I like zoned out.
Let's say there's not two SKUs of the handheld. Let's say there's just the handheld. So you can get like the handheld at like, I don't know what price. I was saying, I'm just throwing it out there. Let's say it's $379.99 or $399. Or you can get the Switch and the dock at $450.
That's, you
get the Switch handheld at $399. I think it's going to be expensive. I mean, I'm apparently the only one. I think it's going
to
be expensive.
To me, that feels like it's a new console. If we're just having an iteration of the Switch concept, that feels mega expensive for what?
I think it's going to sell like hotcakes. I don't think there's a price. I don't think there's a too high of a price you can put on this thing that'll stop it from selling.
For an iteration? Who's going to
PlayStation?
Upgrade?
PlayStation just raised the price on their console. They just made it more expensive.
That's insane.
So we're all looking at Nintendo thinking that they're going to like make it
cheaper. That's
like,
anti-consumer.
They're
going to
make it cheaper. That is anti-consumer. Yes. Raising the price of the product overall is anti-consumer. Yes. So I think Nintendo starts high. I think they come out and they start high.
And then when it doesn't sell like hotcakes, because who the heck is upgrading besides us, then they do the ambassador program and we get some cool games.
That might be the case. But I don't think that's... I think if they have a game to sell, like we hope they do, if they've got a game to sell, it's going to sell. The Switch is so popular. It's so popular.
3D
They're
going to
sell. They could sell it at $500 and it's going to sell.
That's insane.
Without a doubt, at $500, they'll sell 20 million of them out of the
game. I mean, honestly, they might look at the Steam Deck and how that sold for like...
Yeah, more than that. That's what I'm thinking. Like, that's where my head is. I'm like, I'm surprised that so many people are like, they can't go above 400. Like, I'd be surprised if they were under 400.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That would surprise me more than anything else. The Ally is selling. Like, MSI's got a handheld that's coming. Like, iPads cost, you know, $400. Like, I think they're like, we can make this. We've got
the this. OLED is $550 and it sold out.
Yeah, I think y'all didn't hit what I was saying. It's popular because it's cheap and it's Nintendo. So I think it's more accessible to people. The Steam Deck and the Ally are for people who are gamers. People.
How much different is 350 to 400? Like, we're acting like it's like a
350 to 400. I'm fine with 400. I think is completely reasonable. When you get into 5, 6, I'm like, I don't know if they're gonna go that high.
Yeah,
5 is probably like,
again, $399 for the handheld, $450 with the handheld and the dock.
I can see that. Because that's basically no different than like a Switch Lite and a Switch.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the Lite costs less.
What if it has a, well, I don't want to, like, they haven't done it in a while, but like, dare I say, what if it has a pack in?
Hmm.
Is anybody thinking that it comes with a game? Nobody's thinking that, right? Like, that's an antiquated.
That's a thing of the past.
Right. Yeah.
Although PlayStation did it with the PS5.
They did. They did.
Yeah. I would like them to come back to that, though. That would be really good.
So the cost,
I think something, if it's going to have such a massive library of backwards compatibility, they don't need it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the cost. That's where my head is with the cost. With the design, I want it to just be a better Switch. I think it's going to be bigger. The screen size is going to be bigger. I hope it's an OLED. It'd be interesting to see what they're doing with battery life. I don't necessarily think I can think of anything on the design wise that I would like to see differently.
Better hardware, you know, how they used to have stuff that didn't break.
I don't want like a little clippy stand that'll pop off. Like they fixed it with the OLED, like to keep that going. You know, the dock, I wouldn't mind the dock to not have like that big front plate. You know, like I've gotten used to like the little dock, like the little hub you can sit in. You can still see the screen and stuff. I wouldn't mind having like the cradle. Yeah, but it doesn't bother me either. I don't really care. The dock is interesting because I'm wondering, like, what if it streams? What if it just plugs into your TV? What if it didn't even have a dock? What if it's like a cable? Or like, what if it's like an adapter? And like you just plug in an adapter and like it wirelessly connects to like a screen or something like that. Like the dock is where I think there's maybe room for them to do something out of the box that we're not thinking of. You know, when people think of like,
we had talked about telecasting,
they could
give
us that we don't know that we want until we have it. I'm thinking of the dock and like how it connects to the screen and stuff. Like maybe that's the thing.
Telecast. So you can do it wirelessly.
Telecasting. Yeah. Like what if it's like, you know, like sharing your iPhone screen or something. What if there's something like that in the thing? And it's like, you don't even have to do this. Don't even have a dock.
My thought is, what if they give you some more internal storage? Okay, we have a faster.
Oh, that's got to happen. Driving. That's got to happen. The way game sizes are, they cannot hit us with like the 32 gig, 60 gig model. Like, no, that can't possibly be.
Here's a 128 gig.
At least, if not like 500, something.
Especially if they do a digital only version.
I feel like they're gonna make you pay for expandable storage, but if they give you something good, like hey, here's 128 to start off with.
128 feels like the bottom. I wanted to say the bottom is 256, but I could see 128.
Yeah,
but 250 fix feels like. That would be a nice starting point. 256 and then like maybe an upgrade. I can't see. I am desperately hoping to see SSD. Like it's got to have an SSD inside of it. SSD flash memory. Like we've got to get off the old memory bus. I mean, that's the best. That's the biggest thing holding us back from frame rates and better performance is the memory. It's not the graphics. It's not the chip. So like the memory is the thing tech wise. That's what I'm wanting to see more. And I'm not worried about it because the leaks that we have had about it, what have they talked about? Instantaneous load times in Breath of the Wild. That only happens one way. Yeah. So, like, it's got an SSD in it. I'm not too worried about it. It's gonna be there. And that's
I need awesome. Instantaneous load times in Animal Crossing. That's the only thing that'll get me to go back.
Well, with Animal Crossing, I don't know. You never know with them. How they make their games a little bit different, but it'll be faster. I don't know about instantaneous, but faster. It'll be faster. It would be nice
we have
to
two questions about the new console. If you want to hit us with those two questions,
yeah. Mathman goes. I hate how we are still talking about Switch 2 rumors. That being said, what would you have to see from it that would make it a no-brainer of a purchase, or what game would convince you to upgrade? He says, show me NCAA or Madden running on it flawlessly.
Wow, Mathman, you might be the only person with that answer.
I would love to see NCAA come to Switch. Like that would be a great deal. But to answer the question honestly, I don't need any. Like I'm all in on the Switch 2. Like
me
right
too.
Now. they could show the entire system with not a game, and I would buy it. So I'm in.
No, I need an exclusive first-party game, like a new Zelda that's exclusive, a new Mario that's exclusive, like a 3D Mario, a new Metroid that's exclusive. I will probably upgrade day one, unless it's not, like, a huge upgrade. But that's what would... what's what would absolutely convince me to like be excited about it.
Shaq Fu.
We should make that Nintendo Shaq Fu. Like we should make a new Shaq Fu game. It's called Shaq
Fu.
We
should.
It would have to be so abrasively different and such a harder sell for me to not want it immediately.
Yeah. I agree.
It would have to be a Wii U change of con, like something that really goes off the reservation to make me reconsider. Because as long as they give me what I think of a Switch, I'm buying it.
Donnie, it's a $600 console, and it's this expensive because there are no controllers. Nintendo is utilizing eye tracking technology where you move your eyes and blink to do things in the game.
That would do it. Like that would make me go, well, I don't know, guys. I don't know about this one.
That's a no-go.
Yeah, but like if it was like, and the Switch has like a VR headset companion, I'd be like, I don't know. Like that would, it would be something that would make me take a step back because I'm there. I'm there with my money right now. You show me a box with a handheld on the front that looks something like I think of a Switch, and I'm in.
Me too.
I want a better Switch.
Show me Mortal Kombat running good.
Exactly. Like, yeah, the bar is so low. Yeah. Show me Bayonetta 3. Bayonetta 3 runs good now. Here's the money. Here's the money, please.
I think they're going to have a better sell than that, though. I think there's going to be, like, a really fancy exclusive game. Like, this is when they reveal Metroid Prime 4, or it has, like,
I think with all the ports and everything that we're seeing, I think that's exactly what's happening is Nintendo is biding their time to make their games, to have them ready. And I think we're going to all be very surprised when they show. And I don't know if they're all going to be there at launch. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to oversell it. But I think when they show this next hardware and like the roadmap of games that are coming to it, I would expect us to be very surprised in a way that will probably be like way more impressive than like the Switch's launch roadmap. You know, when the Switch launched, it was like ports of Mario games. Obviously, we had Breath of the Wild. We had Shovel Knight, but we had like what it was like ARMS and like the Fire Emblem Warriors game. Like it wasn't like a great giant roadmap there for immediately, but it was overshadowed because in Mario and Breath of the Wild, nobody cared. I expect that they'll have multiple games kind of in that
way. I agree.
Yeah.
The next question comes from Joe, and Joe asks, what games do you think Nintendo will showcase to sell its next system? Have any 2020 predictions that you want to will into existence?
Metroid Prime 4.
That's a good one.
I think that's a good one. Like on the Switch 2 front, it's been often rumored. We've talked about it for years, and the rumors aren't that far-fetched, so I think we can like go with them. We think there's a 3D platformer. Most people think it's Mario. Some people think it's Donkey Kong. I could see both. I could see either. Mario Kart has got to be somewhere not that far behind. Metroid Prime 4 has got to be somewhere. Like, it's got to be.
I have a bold prediction.
Let's hear it.
You know how they, when they were advertising the Switch, they had Skyrim come, and that was like, oh my God, Skyrim, like, yes, is coming to the Switch, even though it was already a really old game by that point.
Yes.
My bold prediction is that the Skyrim of the next Switch is going to be GTA 5.
Oh, you think so? Piggyback off yours, I'm going to say it's Elden Ring.
That's a good
one.
Ooh. My prediction is it's going to be Skyrim again.
That's like
the anniversary update.
The safest bet.
Fallout 4. Yeah. I mean, a Bethesda game makes a lot of, like, it's just a Starfield.
It does.
Yeah, like, it is. Yeah, I think it's Elden Ring. I do think there will be more ports. I could see Mirage. I could see Valhalla. I could definitely, Ubisoft is going to be there with a game. Avatar, yeah. Probably Avatar. Like, given Ubisoft's kind of.
That's approach, how you get me not to buy the Switch.
There's going to be a Ubisoft game or five that show up for sure.
Yeah.
EA
Just Dance 2025.
Yeah. Back to Mathman's thing. EA showing up would be great. The Star Wars game, a Madden game, like just EA being around on Switch again would be a nice Excellent. Thing to see again. Yeah, that would be a great thing to see. Diablo 4 is a really good answer. I can't see in the chat hits with Diablo 4. I could definitely see something like that. There's got to be a handful. If Nintendo comes out with 4 or 5 first-party games and a dozen third-party games, that's going to get people very excited.
Yeah. Maybe a Call of Duty since we got that deal now.
Yeah, or at least show it. Like at least show that it's coming. You know, maybe not this one, but maybe the next one or an old one. That would be great. Call of Duty 4, like maybe the remasters or something like that. That'd be great. That'd be cool. I said this on PSVG. I'll say it again. I've got two games that I want to will in existence. I want a sequel to The Tourist, which was like this voxel indie game. It's absolutely stunning. I think it's still one of the more visually impressive games I've ever seen on the Switch. And then I want a sequel to Astral Chain.
That'd be cool.
And I think either one of those could be around for the next Switch. I also think Suda's working on a brand new game that's not No More Heroes, like a brand new IP from Grasshopper. Nintendo made Suda a part of like their pitch with the Switch. I could see them go back to that well and him unveil his new game as coming to Switch 2. You know, it won't be there at launch. Probably won't be there in the first 2 years, but I could see that being a part of the presentation. Any predictions? Rekka just says no. Oh, Rodriguez, Resident Evil. Resident Evil could definitely, Capcom could definitely, Street Fighter. Street Fighter is an easy one. Street Fighter.
Yeah, Street Fighter.
A port for Street Fighter on Switch 2? Like, that would make a lot of sense.
Street Fighter, Tekken.
Yeah, a lot of that Japanese support could show up.
Baldur's Gate 3 could be there. I think that'd be interesting to have there.
That would be really cool.
I think that would be a big port. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a big port.
Because that's not like a huge studio either to do such a thing unless they had somebody port it for them.
Yeah, they probably have somebody port it for them. That is the one you want to get. If they can get Baldur's Gate on there, that is amazing.
Maybe an announcement. I could see that. So every time we launch new consoles, we get a presentation where they show logos. I could see a logo. I could see a Baldur's Gate logo.
And like, then it takes like 3 years to happen.
Yeah, I could see that. That's Baldur's for sure. Baldur's Gate
could be this Switch's The Witcher.
Yeah. Yeah, it could.
Or like 2026, we're like, wasn't Baldur's Gate supposed to come to the Super Switch?
Yeah. You said The Witcher. Cyberpunk.
Oh,
Cyberpunk
yeah.
could totally be the Skyrim. Yeah.
That'll be a good
look at
one.
Us running Cyberpunk on a handheld. Look how much better it runs on this than the Steam Deck. I'm not saying it will. I'm just if it could, that's a showcase. That like is. That's something to sell a system with.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good one.
You guys keep talking about this. I'll be right back.
Okay. So yeah, I'm expecting a Mario game. I like the idea of Donkey Kong. I mean, I like Donkey Kong. I like the idea of like a 3D Donkey Kong game paired with a Mario Kart game like Metroid. You know, because like if you're getting 3D Mario, which is probably what we're getting, like I'll admit that's going to sell in a way Donkey Kong never would. But like it feels like a lot to get like 3D Mario and Mario Kart. Like let's say they're in the same year.
Yeah. I feel like we just got a Mario game.
Yeah, it's
like
a lot of Mario, like all at once. It's like I kind of want like a 3D brand new Donkey Kong. It's like a new IP. You know, Donkey Kong has its, dare I say, you know, its Breath of the Wild moment. And then we get the next Mario Kart and a Metroid game, and it's like now we're off and running.
What about Splatoon?
Somebody asked us a question about that. So let's hold that for Rebecca to come back.
Yeah,
but I think we can address that there. Some new IP would be nice, you know, like they did the arms, something. I'm not saying arms or legs or whatever,
legs,
but something feet. Like that. something new would be welcome. Something we haven't seen before.
What about Ocarina of Time remaster?
Remasters? Sure. Yeah, I could see something like that. I mean, we're dancing around the big one. They're going to show a new Pokemon game.
Yeah, that's
yeah
almost a
given. And it's probably Arceus 2 or whatever, like something in that vein. But I would imagine that that's the sort of game that you could show off a new handheld, a new power and all that. Yeah. You've played this before, but look how good it's going to be on the next one. That's an instant. System seller.
They got to make it run good, though. They got to like.
Well, that's the point of having the new system, right? You have brand new technology and power and everything, and it like, let's say, imagine a Pokemon trailer for Arceus 2 that just looks infinitely better than the first one.
Yeah.
You know, that's a system. So that's how you sell a new console.
Then you show a play and you show gameplay. Like, oh, look, this runs way better than the one we played. Like, I can see you getting in that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Rebecca's not here, but I want to ask about Animal Crossing. Is it time? Is not that I expected there at launch. I probably wouldn't expect it in the first year, but they have a brand new system. They're going to try to sell it to us. Is it time to like showcase the next Animal Crossing, or is it still like, do you wait, you know, a few years into the generation for that one?
How long has this Animal Crossing been out now? The one that just.
I want to say 2018, but I'm not that guy. I don't know. I mean, it got big and. And it got big during COVID, so 2019.
Okay, so that's kind of about time then. If it's that been that long, yeah, I can see
that's what I was thinking.
Making sense, yeah. I was gonna just say just port that one with some like updated visuals and stuff to the new Switch, but yeah, you probably just give us a new Animal Crossing.
Yeah, but a new one will sell more. Like a new one will actually like a new one sells.
Just bring us a new one. That'll work a lot better. Okay, here you
go. They're saying March 2020. Thanks for the fact check. So I'm thinking maybe wait on that one a bit. Maybe 2025, 2026, we get a new Animal Crossing.
They could probably just, here's this same Animal Crossing, just update it. You can do more stuff with it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember it did come out the same day as Doom Eternal. That was a big deal.
Yeah, because we had Doom Guy with Isabelle.
Yes.
That's exciting. I want Astral Chain 2 to be there. That would get me very excited. You know, it's like a platinum joint. You know, it's probably a low overhead. You know, have a new IP, like not a new IP, but have a, you know, an exclusive in the lineup. You know, a niche exclusive.
Astral Chain is the perfect game to launch, like a launch game. That's a perfect launch game, I think.
Yeah, it really is. That is a good one. And then other ports, Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy would be good.
You could have Final Fantasy VII like it ported to Switch. It could be something.
Yeah, that would be good. They port Final Fantasy VII and I guess Final Fantasy VII 2. They could be like, all right, that's coming along the way. So,
but I feel like Elden Ring, like as big as like Dark Souls, when Dark Souls hit Switch, it was a big deal. I feel like Elden Ring hitting Switch could be a similar big deal.
Yeah,
and don't they have like DLC or something coming out soon?
I think so. Yeah, for Elden Ring.
So, like, what if it's, like, you know, Elden Ring Complete Edition or whatever, and it hits Switch 2 or whatever they're going to call it. I don't know what they're going to call it, but something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've got a few rumors.
Could come in February, so, yeah.
Nice. We've got a few stories and rumors, and then hopefully Rebecca will be back before we do questions. Rumor, this is floating around while we were on break, Bayonetta Trilogy coming to Switch 2.
Very likely.
I think that's probably like, I would hope that it would include the Cereza like spinoff game. I was upset to hear it's just the trilogy. Like it's just Bayonetta 1-3. They had the little spinoff game. I've been wanting to play the spinoff game since playing the demo, but it still hasn't like really gone on sale. It's still like, you know, a $50 game. So
yeah, it is.
I'm waiting for that to come down in price a little before I give it a try. The other report that we got while we were away is that there were multiple ratings came in for Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. It was rated in Brazil, it was rated by the ESRB, meaning that it could potentially be ready for launch. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Oh, and it could be sooner than we think, but you know, people say that all the time when Nintendo games get rated. Nintendo releases games when they want to. So just because it's rated, they may hold that game for 2 years if they want. We've seen him do it before. But we'll see. The last rumor, and honestly the topical one, because this is the one that just came out in the last recent days. There's a rumor floating around that Hi-Fi Rush is reportedly headed to Switch.
Makes sense.
Perfect game to put on Switch.
The Xbox game that hit Game Pass last year from Tango. Yeah. And you guys excited about that one?
I haven't played it yet, but I'm excited to try it. So maybe I'll play it on Game Pass. And if it's great and I love it, I'll get a Switch copy of it. Physical copy.
Yeah. I played it for about 5, 6, 7 hours, something like that, before I just kind of got kind of tired with it. I really loved it, the graphical style at first, but it's like it's rhythm action combat just kind of got a little old after a while. It kind of feels very samey, but it's a good game.
Yeah, my son likes it.
I liked it.
He keeps telling me to try it.
Yeah, a lot of people are mad that Xbox is moving exclusive to Switch with this announcement. Like, this is a big part of it.
Why are they mad?
One, I mean, I don't, like, yeah. I generally think we've really done a good job of adopting, like, the more games for more people is a good thing. Like, just generally as an outlet. I'm proud of that.
You've had your time with it. Let everybody else play it now. It's okay.
You know, people say, like, the hardcore Xbox fans are upset. I count myself as a hardcore Xbox fan, and I'm not upset at all. No, like, I like this energy. I wish they did it more.
They're like, what is Nintendo going to give us?
Yeah, I don't get it. I look at it as more money. This is more money in the coffers for Xbox to make more stuff. Like, go sell more games. But also, like, everything that Xbox puts out is available on PC. Do you have that same energy there? Or is it just when it comes to another console maker? It's just kind of,
I see PlayStation people pissed off when a game comes to PC.
Yeah, but everything on PlayStation is on, like, everything Xbox does is also on PC, like, day one. Everything they release is just also on PC. You get a Steam Deck and just play, like, all Xbox games there if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, so, like, with PlayStation, I get it. Like, be like if Nintendo started releasing them, I guess maybe people would feel the same way. I mean, I would love that, but Xbox has done this before. I think they'll continue to do it. It's not like they do it with every single game, but they do it when it makes sense. They did it with Minecraft Dungeons. They did it with Ori, you know, and this one makes sense. So I think
perfect sense.
I think it's cool. I hope people buy it. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not too excited about it, but I think that game has done whatever it's going to do for Xbox. Right?
Enough time.
It came out, it hit Game Pass, it got talked about, people played it, it released on PC stores, people bought it. So they got a chance to double dip. Oh, as XBS points out, As Dust Falls is going to PS5. I like that game way more. Rebecca, do you ever play As Dust Falls?
It's a great game.
I have not.
I would highly recommend it if you ever want to give it a look. If you're like into like those narrative adventures, like Telltale-like games, it's one of my favorite those. It's really good.
Great story.
They don't give you a lot of time to make decisions. Like, everything is very quick.
Oh, that's so stressful. So, I like it.
And that's why I liked it a lot. I was like, oh, like, you really have to, it keeps your attention in a way that a lot of the other narrative, like the visual novels, don't. So that's it for a couple news points. We can hit some questions. How many do you want to do?
All of them.
All of
them. Just all right, we'll be quick about it.
Because we've got a lot. Nick says, for the next Switch, would you rather Nintendo build the controls into the system or have detachable controls like the Joy-Cons? So I think he's saying, like, do you want like a one-piece handheld or just keep the Joy-Con?
I want them to work. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't care, really. Don't care. The thing that I like about the detachable Joy-Con, so first of all, I never, ever, ever, not even since the first year of the Switch, have used detached Joy-Con. They're not comfortable for me to play detached. I only use the Pro Controller when I'm playing it docked. However, the thing that I do like about the detached controllers is that I can, like, buy more of them so that when I'm playing it handheld, I, like, can switch up the look of my Switch. Like, it's a way to customize my Switch without buying a whole new console.
Sure.
I agree.
Well, in the case of the Switch Lite, if you have problems with your controllers, you can't just replace it by buying another controller. Right. You know, like if the Switch Lite, if your sticks drift, you're kind of screwed. You've got to open this whole thing out. If your sticks drift on a Joy-Con, you can fix them yourself. But if you don't, you can just buy another controller and just snap it in and keep going. So I kind of, I like the modularity of it. I don't necessarily like the rails because I do feel like the rails are a weak point.
Yeah,
they do feel like they could break.
They break.
Yeah, like
on
if you drop your Switch on the wrong way or whatever, you're like, yeah, I don't. So I don't know. That's a really good question. I would prefer, if given the option, I would prefer them to make a one-piece handheld that doesn't have like drifting sticks or something. But if they're going to keep the drifting sticks, then I want the Joy-Cons. Like, at least make them detachable.
The rails on my, like, I think I play handheld aggressively because on more than one pair of my Joy-Con, the it like pops up if I'm like playing too hard. That's a me problem, probably.
Well, actually, I mean, I'm still playing on what's over there now. I'm playing on my OG, you know, No More Heroes Switch, and my rails, they don't seat fully. So like just the Joy-Cons just have like a little wiggle kind of when they're in there, you know, like there's just like a little play. And I don't like that either. You know, it just doesn't feel as solid as like a one piece would. So question number two from John. Glad to have you back. How was your holiday break? Did you get any good gaming gifts from Santa?
Oh my gosh. I got a Steam gift card. Okay. From my dad, not from Santa. And I was really excited and I went to go like, it wasn't one of the scratch off ones. It was one of the peel off ones. And I peeled it off and like some of the middle characters like of the code got like peeled off. So I couldn't really tell like what some of the characters were. So I'm typing it in, trying to like guess what some of them are, guessing. Like having other people looking at it. We're trying to like piece it together. Nothing is working. So I'm like, okay, like I need to go exchange this. So I go back to the grocery store where he bought it and they're like, gift card sales are final. There's nothing we can do to help you. You're shit out of luck. Sorry. Yep. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, it was like $50. It was like a lot of money. And so I had to end up contacting Steam and I sent them, they had me send them a picture of it or whatever and like a receipt of when I bought it. And they were able to send me the exact code that that it was. Like, I guess they were able to find out somehow based on the receipt or something. And so they were like very quick. Like, this was like the day after Christmas and they responded in less than 10 hours. And that was like the best customer support ever. It was so great.
Nice.
That happened to me several times.
Especially annoying.
Several.
Yeah, several. Especially when stores have like gift cards that's like been sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
The code will like get stuck and it won't come off right and then messes up. You can't read it. You have to call the customer service and you give them the information, they'll figure it out for you. Or they'll just send you the code.
Yeah.
The question.
Oh, when you sent them the code. Yeah.
Delvin, did you get any good gaming gifts from Santa?
No comment.
Is that a no?
No. It's a yes.
Opposite of that.
This is quite the opposite of that. I got like a gaming store.
Someone got enough gaming gifts from Santa to open up his own GameStop.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I was very fortunate this Christmas. And I got a lot.
Good. What was the best thing? Tell us one thing.
I don't even know if I can pick the best. The kind of ones I got. I got an Ally.
Nice.
I got the Ally. I got the PlayStation Portal. I got the new Atari system. Those are three of the many gifts I got.
The many.
Nice. Nice.
I got a new keyboard. Pales in comparison to Delvin, but I got a new keyboard.
And this is why I didn't want to say it. I got soap on a rope and boxers.
I got game consoles.
I got the 8-bit do NES style keyboard with like the super buttons, which I liked a lot. Yeah,
cool.
It's very cool. I was able to program all of my macros to like take screenshots and videos and like in tasks and switch tasks and stuff. It's very nice. I like it a lot. Crawler says, welcome back, Shaq. Happy New Year to the podcast crew. What are your gaming related New Year's resolutions?
Play more indies.
Play more video games in general.
Yeah.
I don't play enough.
Finish games. I start a lot of games and I don't finish them.
It never bothers me either. I let go of that a long time ago.
That does annoy me when I don't finish games.
Does it?
It does. It really does.
Unless it's sometimes really, really the game's bad. Like, if I'm really enjoying a game, then I'm going to play it until I beat it. But if I'm not enjoying it, then I'm going to stop.
Well, my problem is I'm enjoying a game, but then I put it down and never finish it. It's like such a problem.
Mm.
It still annoys me, Donnie, that I didn't finish The Chant, and I hated that game.
That game's not good.
I got like halfway through, I'm like, oh, this is it. It's still annoying. Like, what happened with the story? I'm still thinking, like, what happened in the end of the story? I might just Google it. It annoys
there's just like too much. There's too many good things to sit around and play something like you're not really doing for the sake of beating it, in my opinion. It's like, I'm not going
to. Well, if I'm not enjoying it, that's one thing, but I just don't finish games that I do enjoy.
I don't really do resolutions. So I just kind of do whatever I want to do like at the time.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm not very goal oriented, so yeah. Any others? Is that it?
Can't think of any off the top of my head.
Henry says, when we see the Switch 2, do you think Nintendo will announce a new Splatoon game?
I hope not. Maybe a spinoff.
I think they will.
Splatoon 4.
Oh yeah. My god.
Yeah. Like if we were taking bets, I would give that like high odds.
Yeah,
it's probably not. It's not
and
a
I'll
launch
buy
game.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it like the idiot I am.
It's gonna have three new maps.
Yep.
It's a whole new thing. The DLC you're waiting on has been moved to Splatoon 4.
Splatoon 4. Yep.
Yarden says, sorry to bring the show down, but my Switch was brutally murdered by the floor of LAX this past holiday.
I saw the picture.
It was too young to die. Should I replace it or just wait for the Super Switch?
It looks like it should still be able to be docked. I think it's just the screen that got cracked.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a good
question. I don't know, but I don't know. Yarden, confirm for us. Can it be played docked?
If it can be played docked, keep it till the new Switch comes out.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Again, to the point of the Switch's modular design, you can just buy a new screen, like a new tablet.
It looks like he attempted surgery on it, and it appears the surgery was unsuccessful. I don't know what he tried to do, though. But I saw his Switch's innards.
But you don't have to buy like a whole new Switch and Joy-Con. Like you can just go on eBay and just get a replacement tablet. It's the middle.
You can. You could do that.
And they're not that expensive. Even an OLED, they're not that expensive. Or like $200.
You can just go to a pawn shop and see if they have one really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that too.
So, either way, I think, you know, don't buy a whole new Switch. I think, you know, to replace it, I think you should wait for the Super Switch.
I've seen the Switch lights at pawn shops for as low as like $100.
That's true. Really, you get a loaner, like just get a Switch Lite for the time being.
Yeah.
That's not a bad choice either. But I would suggest that I wouldn't skip the year. That wouldn't be my suggestion. As I said earlier, I've got too many games that I want to play in 2024 to not have a Switch.
Here's what I would say. Wait until the end of February. And if they have not like said anything or hinted at anything, maybe even the end of March.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good point.
But Mario Donkey Kong comes out in what, February?
He is not excited for Mario Donkey Kong, Donnie. You're the only one.
He's very excited.
Sorry, Rebecca. Sorry. Super excited
for it. Go play that on your 3DS.
I did. Kyle the Pug says, Happy New Year, Shaq. My question is that since I got two Nintendo vouchers for Christmas, would it be smart if I bided my time for new releases of 2024 so I can use them? What Nintendo games are you looking forward to this upcoming year? I also have two vouchers that I'm sitting on, and I'm waiting for them to announce new games.
Yeah, I would save them personally. If there's nothing that you were so excited about that you have already bought it, like just wait.
That's what I'm doing. Could you imagine if the Switch 2 comes out and you've got vouchers, but your vouchers don't work on any new Switch 2 games.
Oh my gosh.
I 100% can, especially if they raise the price of software. I 100% expect that to happen.
Yeah, but they should honor vouchers.
Available for Switch.
They will honor them for Switch.
What they may not even have vouchers in the new eShop or whatever. Like, they may not even do it.
Yeah. Like, you can still, we still honor them for old Switch games.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to burn one on Mario vs. Donkey Kong because it's a budget title. So I'll just buy that one. I'm still on the fence with, like, I'm essentially saving one for Thousand Year Door and then saving the other one for whatever. Like, what could it be? It could be Princess Peach Showtime. It could be something else that they announce. I'm probably not going to use it on Luigi's Mansion. Luigi's Mansion, I'm probably not getting like right away. That's probably like a Black Friday type of gift for me. Like maybe around Halloween, I might get that and try to play it then. But I'm not going to get Luigi's Mansion like this summer, like right out of the gate. I can wait on that one. But I'm hoping there's something else. Like I'm hoping like maybe like Wind Waker or something. I'm hoping to use the voucher on something else. Drew, do you think there'll be a non-Breath of the Wild Tears of the Kingdom Zelda game on Switch or the next whatever by the end of the year?
Yes.
It's basically we'll get a Zelda game this year. Yes. Yeah. I was on Easy Ally's new podcast yesterday talking about Zelda, and you know, I think there will be, even if it's just like a remake, I think there will be a new game to purchase this year, whether it's Wind Waker or maybe it's something Grezzo's been cooking up for top down.
That's exactly what I was thinking, like a remaster or something like that. I said Ocarina of Time, but it could be like Wind Waker or something like that. Just a cool remaster, slightly upper res or something like that.
Isn't that like the N64 app is a slightly up-res Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, but they can sell it to us and make more money. Yeah, here you go. Well,
I don't think they touch Ocarina again, which I'm not so sure that they will. But if they do, they got to fully remake it.
Yeah, I think when they do eventually touch it again, it'll be like a full reimagining, like a Final Fantasy VII type deal.
Yeah, it's got to be something brand new. Are there any other NSO Zeldas that they could do?
To remake?
I mean, like just to release, like. Because like
on the current like, apps that we have, past,
Link's Awakening, we've got Minish Cap, we've got, you know, we've got the
on Game Boy Advance, the Link to the Past Four Swords combo pack. That's a GBA game.
Okay. So yeah, like if they're not doing that, then they've got to release either a remake or a remastered port of something. They're kind of starting to run out of options. Like they've really went to that well a lot. If those Zelda ports that have been long rumored are out there, it would make sense. Especially as they keep, you know, like kind of pushing out new games, like with all these ports and stuff, it would make sense for them to announce those. Kate, welcome back, guys. When do you think the first direct from Nintendo will be? And what do you think we'll see? When do you think we'll see the Switch 2 for the first time? So when do you think the first direct will be? When do you think we'll see Switch 2?
First 2 weeks of February for the first direct. And I think we'll see the Switch 2 around the same time.
Nice. It's exciting.
First 2 weeks, and I'm going to say Switch 2 summer. We'll see it.
Like their own direct or summer games?
Yes, their own direct. Like their own direct, probably like Mayish, maybe early June.
I think it won't be in a direct. I think they'll have their own like they'll tweet out like tune in on Wednesday when we talk about the next hardware for Nintendo, and then it'll be like its own showcase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With its own games and stuff.
Yeah. I think they are going to acknowledge it in the first direct of the year. And then we won't get to see it until later. But they're going to acknowledge that it exists. Maybe even see like a glimpse of it or something, like a tease. But then, you know, details to be seen later is kind of what I'm thinking. Antoine, I got Tears of the Kingdom for Christmas, so I'll be spending much of 2024 in Hyrule. Are there any games in your backlog from 2023 that you want to play this year?
All of them.
I still want to try Mario Wonder. I want to play more of Metroid Prime Remaster. Even though I played Metroid Prime, I want to spend more time with the remaster. I don't know if I'll dip into Mario RPG. I want to still get back to the Pikmin DLC or the Pikmin post game. I don't know. Depends.
Kevin Mario told me Wonder, there was so much post game.
Mm-hmm. Mario Wonder is the biggest one for me. I got to get back to that and finish that one up. Mario RPG. Oh, it's just so much stuff. The Mario Rabbids game was the one that came out. I can't remember the name of it
now. Oh, yeah. New Hope.
Yeah, that's it. Sparks of Hope. Mm.
Yeah, Sparks of Hope. That's right. Yeah.
It's just so much stuff I want to play, man. That's what I was saying.
That game went dirt cheap over the holidays. You pick that whole game up for like $14.99.
And people say it's good, but you know, just haven't had time to play it. Like Tears of the Kingdom took up a lot of my time. So now that I have more free time, I'm going to knock some of these games I want to play out in the way, then probably get into this other ridiculously long game for the rest of the year. So we'll see. Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. Nice. Tyler says, do you think Nintendo will actually call their next system the Switch 2?
No.
No.
No. No, it's just
the I'm still team Super Switch.
That'd be good. I mean, Super
Switch have been, be always will be.
I can see them say the new Nintendo Switch.
I can see that too. The Super Switch, the only thing that gives me any hesitancy about it is that like it's so easily there that I'm worried that they won't take it. Like they've been so novel with their naming conventions. Yeah. You know, like they really kind of make their own brand and their own marketing, and something about them just doing the Super Switch just seems too easy.
It's also like, and I've heard this, I don't know how much Nintendo cares, but like the abbreviation SS like also has like very negative association.
I could see them not doing that as well.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. They could call it the Switch Pro for all I know. I don't know. I don't know what they're planning to do. But I do know, have they ever named a system with a number?
No.
Yeah, they never have. Well, I mean,
no, like but that's not what he means.
As a sequel,
that is the only one I can think of. N64. That's about it.
Yeah, they're not gonna. They're not just gonna give it a number. I don't think that would be kind of shocking in itself if they did that. I expect they'll have a name for it.
Because even
I wonder if
Switch 4K.
I wonder if they'll keep the Switch moniker.
Yeah, they have to. It's just marketing, brand recognition.
So Switch you then.
Oh my God.
Switch us?
Switch you.
Switch home? I don't know. We'll see. Super Switch makes a lot of, I mean, it makes so much sense. And there's so much nostalgic and stuff and people be excited, but.
And they'll and make then, it purple.
But also, if I'm just thinking like, okay, we're Don Draper, we're sitting around a room and we're marketing geniuses. And we're figuring this out. If you go Super Switch, if this is like a product line that Nintendo wants to continue, where do you go from Super Switch? Just like keep going in that thing, like Ultra Switch?
Nintendo like, Switch 64! What are we doing here?
You know, Switch Infinity and like, yeah. Like
Mega Switch.
Interesting thing. Mega Switch, yeah, it just keeps getting bigger. You just have like a thesaurus for big names. Gargantuan Whoa. Switch. Yes. Gigantic Switch.
We definitely, G-Man, G the Man, we cannot do Switch Clam.
That Switch is, clam.
Absolutely not. No.
The clam switch.
No, absolutely not.
It's interesting. Yeah, I
flag
think,
on the play.
They'll try to spin it their own way. I don't know. I can't guess it, but they always seem to do it. So they do some shit and we all talk about how dumb it is, and then we all get one and it becomes, you know, second nature. So
yeah.
Last question. G-Man says, how do you feel about Nintendo Direct happening early February? I know it's happening, but do you think it would be the first week of February? Oh, he's going even further.
Oh.
Yeah, that's happened.
Could be.
It could be anywhere from the end of January to like the first half of February.
Yeah, I don't know. I've stopped tracking like directs. I gave that up some time ago, so I'm like, I'm here for it whenever it happens. Awesome.
I just hope it's not when I'm at work so I can actually enjoy it.
It definitely will be Tuesday at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yep.
What aren't they like? They're mostly like what, either 5 or like 10?
10 a.m., noon, or like 5 p.m.
Yeah. The 5 p.m. one is a pain because it's like, do you hang out at work to catch the end of it or like to catch it? Or do you try to get home early? Like,
rush home.
You're right there in that sweet spot. Like, you're putting people in danger, right? The people on the road. You can't be having people driving down the freeway watching Nintendo Directs, Nintendo.
Yeah.
push it back an hour or two.
When we say do crime, that's not what we mean. Not that.
The DS Switch. DS Switch. D-Switch.
Got a dual screen switch.
D-Switch!
D-Switch. That's
it. Okay, we're done. It's over. Everyone go home.
Yeah.
We're back. Nothing to see here. With so much energy. PSVG is just so excited this year.
To bed.
Yeah. So much energy, so much fire.
It's just me. Yeah. I'm excited. Please be excited.
Maybe I'll be awake next week.
No, you won't.
I'm going to get you and Dev on a podcast together.
The energy will be just...
The Ben Steincast.
Podcast to fall asleep to.
The melatonin cast.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have something very exciting happen this week that we'll talk about next week. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll catch you next week, Koopalings. Thank you for listening to the first episode of 2024. Woo. See you next time.
Deuces. Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening. And I forgot the line already. What?